Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
I feel something.
You feel it?
Yes, I feel it.
That's the force.
Do you lay eggs?
What?
No.
Blow that piece of junk out of the sky!
Quite a lot's happened. You and I had a fight recently.
Did I win?
No, I won easily.
I am Groot.
I am Steve Rogers.
Traitor!
Who in the hell do you think you are?
I have spoken.
Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Fedra Ekris.
Hello, everyone.
So, first I want to apologize to everyone. We did an episode last week, but unfortunately I forgot to hit record. So, we didn't get to get that one out. But we're back. I did want to thank everyone who joined us for WDWNT's Toys for Tots Marathon. Fedra and I were at the studio, and Jack and a host of others joined us through vMix. We had a lot of fun. I really enjoyed being at the studio. I'd never been there before. And it was fun.
Yes, right? It was.
Right, people?
Yes, thank you so much to all the viewers. And, you know, shout out to Bianca and for joining us, too, at the studio.
Yeah, and for Bianca making us cookies, which I'm going to admit, I have to be honest, I did not get a chance to try, but I know, Fedra, you did, right?
I did. They were extra, extra sugary. Oh, my. If you had a cup of coffee, you could just dunk that and you'd be good. So thank you, girl, so much. Loved it.
No, I wish I would have tried them because I love sugar cookies, but I completely forgot. My head was on backwards and then I just stormed out there, but I would have loved to have taken some home.
No, I told her when I saw them, because I don't know what it is from a child. I just never ate anything with sprinkles on it. But this was like a sugar cookie with like whipped cream or whipped frosting and then these like sprinkles on top. And I was just like, no, she made those. I'm going to try one, no matter sprinkle or no sprinkle.
No, well, that really pisses me off that you described it because it sounds pretty good. maybe we'll see Bianca again and she'll make them hopefully again because that does sound pretty cool. We also wanted to thank Daniel McComb for thinking of us. He was in Disneyland Paris with his fiance, Sarah. And I don't know if they were staying at the Hotel New York or if they were just visiting, but they have a Art of Marvel exhibition there. And it was nice. He thought of all of us and he sent us keychains, which I still need to get sent to Jack, and I'll eventually see Fedra and send it to her. Well, give it to her. But again, thanks. That's really nice, you know, to have thought of us while you were on holiday.
And he also sent us a ton of pictures.
That's yes. True. Yes. Thank you, Dan, so much. Although, of course, you know, all of us, you know, have keychains, but this particular one I'm going to hang in my studio so I can see it every time we do the podcast. And really, thank you for taking the pictures. The artwork was just amazing. It was quite a collection. And if listeners are in New York visiting and you're a Marvel fan, you guys really need to check it out.
Actually, it was in Paris.
Oh, Paris. Yeah, sorry. I keep thinking New York.
Well,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's like Justin or Jeremy. You
know? Exactly.
Yeah, that was one thing I kept getting wrong. I kept forgetting Fedra's boyfriend's name. I always call him Jeremy, and his name is Julian. And throughout the podcast, I was calling him Jeremy. So I apologize for that. He's a very cool guy, and I appreciate that it doesn't bother him. I'll get it right one year, but I don't think it's going to be this year because I'm still getting it wrong. Do you know what his name is, Jack?
It was Jebediah.
Yeah. Close. At least we're getting the J parts right, Fedra.
Yeah.
Just call him George from now on. There you go.
George. All right. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to discuss Hawkeye, because we talked a little bit about it on the marathon. And then last week we talked a lot more about it. But again, I didn't hit record, but we've all watched the first four episodes. So we're going to get into that. We're also, since Spider-Man No Way Home is coming out, we're going to rank all the Spider-Man films. And I know we've done this before, but we have a lot more participants that I use their data to come up with averages. Some people from WDWNT, some listeners, and some friends. So that should be kind of cool to see where that comes out. I mean, I know the results, but you guys are going to have to wait and find out. All right, so let's get this started, and we'll start with Hawkeye. So, Fedra, what would you think of Hawkeye?
Okay. I mean, overall, all the episodes, I think, are great. You know, 7 to 8 out of 10 as far as the series. They do have a sprinkle of nearly everything in this. And what I mean by that, you know, it has the holidays, of course, with, you know, Hawkeye's family and the theme of Christmas. We've got, you know, Kate Bishop, upcoming possible sidekick, partner, maybe taking the torch of Hawkeye. We don't know. Amazing cinematic film here. We've got great action scenes. We even got the detective vibe of solving, you know, things, which is my personal favorite. So, I mean, overall, like, I really enjoy watching it. This last episode got me kind of questioning. Are we doing spoilers?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, you know, the last episode we see right at the end there, I believe it is Black Widow's sister, which is the Black Widow assassin. That kind of threw me off a little bit in figuring out, you know, the last encounter that Hawkeye had with Black Widow was the most intimate and really the hardest thing I could ever imagine. Just, you know, watching your best friend sacrifice themselves to save humanity. Yeah, it's pretty deep. And, you know, why all of a sudden, you know, Black Widow's, you know, sister is coming at Hawkeye, I don't know.
Well, in Black Widow, the movie, I think it might have been an after credit scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Val basically tells her that Hawkeye was the one that killed Natalia. So that's why she's out to get her, because she believes that it was Hawkeye that killed her sister.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. I can't remember everything, but thank you.
No, it's hard. You know, I forget a lot of things.
I think I want to kind of save, you know, some more things that I want to get into before, you know, I want to hear, you know, Jack's perspective too. But I mean, overall, I really do like it. I just, there's themes of things in here that I dislike.
Okay. Jackie boy, what'd you think?
I am enjoying it immensely. Are we going to talk about the series overall, or are we just talking about this latest episode?
No, I would say the series overall.
Okay. Overall, I think it's been great. I really am digging the dynamic between Clint and Kate. You know, it's like she wants to be the partner. She wants him to be her mentor. And he's just like, you know what? I just want to keep you alive and get you out of trouble, then leave. And it's a very good dynamic between the two of them. I have to say, this episode 4, if we talk about it a little bit more, Joel will be like, yeah, I don't know if I liked it all that much. I thought this episode 4 was terrific. I really liked the part where Clint was opening up and talking about Natasha, you know, as the shot he didn't take. And, you know, you could really sense the loss he's still feeling from her, you know, dying during Endgame. And I really thought that was just like a great moment. And, you know, he's alone and Kate comes through and she's trying to cheer him up and stuff. Like I said, the dynamic between two of them is terrific. I really like that quieter moment between the two of them talking about Natasha. I thought that
now,
was really good.
I'm going to call you out, Jack McCarthy.
You're going to call me out.
You
because Fedger, he's already admitted he'd push me off the cliff without batting an eye.
No, yeah, I would.
Going
I would,
after the
same thing with Fedger. I'm sorry, Fedger. I would do the same to you too.
If that I'm meant, taken.
If it meant saving billions of people, screw you both. You know.
See. bye, Jack. Boop.
Yeah, I've had to choose between the two of you. I'd push you both off, just so I wouldn't have to choose. But Jack. And I've done this before, too, but I'm just surprised that you've done it. You've been calling her Natasha. Isn't it Natalia?
Oh, that's right. Moose and squirrel.
Yeah. So, see, Jack does make mistakes. It's rare. But there you go. Sorry, Jack, for interrupting you.
What are you talking about? I just covered up well.
No, you're the Marvel master, you know. But go ahead.
Anyway, like I said, I really like this episode. I think it's continuing to be on well above quality in writing and character development than anything else we've seen on Disney Plus in regards to Marvel. I think this is their best one so far.
Yeah, I'm going to tend to agree with you, Jack. I do think this is their best series so far. I was not looking forward to seeing this series at all. And especially when they first released the first two episodes all at once, I wasn't crazy about that, but I was hooked. I think they did a great job. I really like Haley Steinfeld as Kate Bishop. I think she's really good in the role. I think she's a great actress. I think they have decent chemistry. I wouldn't say they have the best chemistry. He kind of reminds me of a shorter version of Clint Eastwood. And you know, because he doesn't really display emotion. He's a tough guy. I don't know. I just don't feel like kind of like Wolverine a little bit. There's not much to him emotionally. He might share it with his family and everything, but when he's with Kate Bishop, it's just kind of like, all right, kid.
I don't know. I think he showed a heck of a lot this time that he's finally letting his guard down with her a bit.
I don't know. I tend to disagree, but that could just be me.
Even the whole part of, you know, what his job is. He's not a hero. He hurts people. You know, he's, you know, how he's explaining that, you know, his job is he's pointed at a target and he's takes it out. So I thought this was really good. I think
no, I like that
a
too.
A lot
like
of emotion it. From him this time.
You know, he's very truthful. He sees himself as a weapon. He doesn't see himself as a hero, but I do think he should see himself as a hero after saving the world or the universe, basically, or half of the universe. But yeah, no, I liked the first two episodes. I thought they were pretty good. I wasn't crazy about the whole LARPing thing. It was okay. It didn't last that long, but it's been starting to go downhill ever since the third episode for me. Not hugely. I would say Echo. My problem with Echo is that you know she's going to redeem herself. And I'm just getting sick of Disney doing that, like where we have a villain, let's redeem them by the end. Because we can't have villains in Disney movies anymore. And then you got, you know, in the fourth one, you were introduced to Yelena comes in there. And it's the same crap. You know, she's going to redeem herself. You know that.
I don't know if she's going to redeem herself.
I think she is. She's going to be the next Black Widow for sure.
Yeah, but she is. I don't even think she's like redeemed in the comics. She's a Black Widow, but she's not a hero, I believe.
This is Disney Plus. I'm sure she's going to be the next Black Widow. That's what they're going to set up. It's like, well, you know, like how you said that maybe this is the birth of the new Avengers or the young Avengers or whatever the hell you want to call them.
Well, I think we have two tracks. I think we have a young Avengers going, and then I think we have the Dark Avengers starting, where I could definitely see her on the Dark Avengers.
Who else would be on the Dark Avengers?
U.S. Agent.
Hmm.
They've already seen Val hire him. If they open up the Netflix universe, because supposedly Matt Murdock is in, which means the rest of them are there. You could have Bullseye, who is a major villain, and he played a major role in the Dark Avengers storyline in the comics. And we'll see who else comes up.
Yeah. But like I said, the last episode that I watched was my least favorite. And I know, you know, I discussed with Fedger, you know, she'll definitely have opinions on this too. I feel like Disney is messing things up. They're just pushing an agenda that they need to calm down with. I'm not saying that there are great female heroes, for sure, but I found it kind of odd that it was Hawkeye and three women fighting on that roof. I think that Disney again is pushing girl power, which is fine, but don't overcompensate. You know, maybe split it up like where it's boy, girl, but when it's boy, girl, 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 you know, there is a problem. And I know that that's in Disney's mind. They're like, oh yes, we have to. Cause I even like, they just released a trailer before we started for a Star Wars game that's coming out called Eclipse, I think. And the main character is a female character. And then I read The Accolade, which is another Disney Plus series, is a Star Wars series. The main character is going to be a female. Again, I have nothing against female, but it's kind of like, it feels like overload to me when they do this. And that's how I feel like they ruined Star Wars in a way, because for me with The Force Awakens, Rey was very interesting. You know, she stood out, number one, because she was a Jedi, but also because she was a girl. And then in the second one, in The Last Jedi, they just opened the gates and they introduced a lot of female characters. And they make, calm down, let me finish.
I can just see Joe's like, Kathy Kennedy is there with a bullhorn saying, release the women.
Well, she said
and
that.
They,
she said,
and they just run out.
She wears a shirt that says Star Wars is female. She does. She has a shirt that says that, or the Star Wars universe is female. But
I'm just saying the way you're talking, it sounds like.
But you have to tend to agree with me too. But what I'm saying is, though, by them introducing in The Last Jedi, not only were all the women that came in women, but they were better than the men, and the men were idiots. All the men were idiots in that movie when you think about it. Luke was basically an idiot. Poe was basically an idiot. Finn was basically an idiot. I guess Kylo Ren was an idiot. I don't know, but all the women, they were in charge. They were powerful. And then in the next movie, they're introducing new characters. What do? They bring in two women into it. It's just too much. It's overload. I just think that they're forcing it a little too much, and I'm afraid that they're going to do that with Hawkeye too. When I just saw that scene, I'm just saying, just hit the brakes here. I love powerful female superheroes, but don't make an Avengers where there's six women and one male, you know, which I would not be surprised if that's the case. Split it up. Three and three is fine with me. But once you kind of go a little bit, when people could see, it's like, oh, I get what you're doing. I see what you're doing. That's how I feel. What do you guys think? Is it me? Or is it Maybelline? I don't know why I shouldn't have said that, but
it's all with you, Joe. I do have to say, though, that fight scene, though, I don't know that much about Echo as a character, though, but she took some pretty serious hits and gave them too. Like, there was that scene where she kicked Kate and Kate went like flying, like over that, like ravine in the two building between the buildings. I was like, I don't know if she has like not super strength, but like Captain America level strength that, you know, she could like punt somebody that far with a kick. And then, I mean, she just took, she took an arrow into the shoulder and just like shrugged it off and pulled it out. Like, I don't know. Is she super strong or not?
No, she's not. They showed her origin. She just basically learned martial arts. But again, they're pushing that whole thing. Let's let Fedra speak. Sorry, Fedra.
No worries. I kind of agree with you, Joe, because as a female, I do want to see these kinds of scenes. I do want to see when, you know, could Hawkeye take on a swarm of, you know, very heavily assassin women? Yeah, I would love to see that. Not just because it's like, oh, women against men. It's just, hey, it's not been done before. It's not been seen before in Marvel films. So I would like to see it. However, I do agree with you on the balance of showing that from every Marvel film and also in Star Wars. I agree. But that's, you know, that's besides gender. That's besides the message. That's just good casting and good story writing of balancing the characters. So I don't really like to focus on, you know, the gender or sexual orientation as others do, because I find that pointing that out is magnifying it. So I want to do the opposite and say, okay, what is the message and what is the story saying to me? So the thing that I wanted to mention that neither of you have, that I will be getting on the soapbox now, and because it really drove me, it was very upsetting, which is, if you've noticed in the film, there's some highly targeted messages about family. And we see that with constantly Hawkeye promoting this theme of sacrifice. You know, there's a bit of sacrifice to be this weapon. There's a bit of sacrifice of, you know, not being around for my family, and I hope I can make for Christmas. The sacrifice that Natalia made, you know, to, you know, save humanity, and, you know, telling this
Natasha.
To
Kate, now I got her doing it.
No, it's Natalia. She was right, Mr. Budinsky.
Okay. I'll keep going.
It's cool. Natasha.
No, it's Natalia.
Is it Natasha or Natalia?
Is it? Well, all right. I'm going to have to look it up.
All right, cool. What I'm diving into is that how he's trying to, you know, tell Kate not to be glorified by, you know, being a hero, that how he views it. But what also is very upsetting to me, at least in this series, what I feel is being said by both Echo being the female, quote unquote, villain, and Kate being the female, quote unquote, hero. Both of them have lost their fathers. Both of them have gone through some type of trauma of losing their father. And all of a sudden they incorporate this kind of persona of, I'm going to be strong. Nothing's going to get me. I'm going to, you know, protect myself, and I'm going to do something about it, whether it's one side or the other. And I have a real problem with that, because I'm not going to do it now, but I can go down the list of all the other Marvel characters, if you all can do that in your head, and think about how many have lost their father or both parents. I'm sick of it.
Well,
I'm sick of seeing that.
You could see that in Disney movies too. It's
exactly
rare.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my point. So, I mean, for it to be a Disney movie and about Christmas, it's like, why do we have to divulge this type of mentality? We could even do it with Black Widow, her sister now. She didn't even have a family, you know? So that's now three female characters within one episode that all don't have a family structure. But yet we're talking about a family structure with Hawkeye meeting his family for Christmas, and yet he's, you know, sacrificing himself. I know it's kind of deep. I know it's kind of negative, but I really wanted to point that out, because I firmly believe that that message is being put out on the female side just as much as the male side. And I have a problem with conveying that in order to be a strong or more masculine type of female, you have to go through some traumatic issue with your family. That's my issue here.
Yeah, no, I definitely could see that. I'm glad you pointed that out. I just wasn't thinking of it while I was watching the series, but no, you make a good point there.
Well, thank you.
As far as the Natasha controversy, okay, so this is what I got here. It says Black Widow's real name is Natalia Alanova Romanoff in the MCU. She has several aliases, including Natasha Romanoff. So we're both right. But I'm pretty sure someone corrected me.
You know, saying, reputation is secure.
It is, Jack. You are still right. We're all right. But what irritates me about this series, too, is it's reminding me of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where Hawkeye is trying to get home and he keeps having to call up like every day and say, well, I promise tomorrow I'll be home. You know, I'm getting a little tired of that crap. And I don't think
that's ridiculous, because I know when I'm away, I usually call my wife several times a day. So I could see her checking in like, hey, what's going on? What's going on with the kids?
No. That's fine. Calling your wife every single day. But
by the way, I'm having a tough time getting home. I might not be leaving on time. You know, I don't see that as unrealistic.
But it's been every episode.
Well, it's every day.
Well, I'm just sick of it. I'm sorry. And I'm going to say this, too. I think those kids are spoiled, you know. They should be happy that they're celebrating Christmas in a nice house with their mother.
It's not all the kids. It's the youngest kid doesn't understand.
They're not happy either.
Oh, they're not happy, but, you know, they kind of get it. I mean.
Well, then the youngest kid's spoiled.
The youngest kid doesn't know better. He's a kid.
He's a kid. If he could speak, he can understand.
Oh, my God.
And he knows sign language, too. I got sign language for him right here, buddy.
The world according to Hogarty. If I get you, kid, you don't need any parental love. Make it on your own in this world. If not, you're spoiled.
Well, it's just that you have to, when I'm looking at them, you got to admit, they probably spend every single day, 24 hours a day together. So what? The dad can't be home for Christmas. Boo hoo hoo. Too bad. But they're there for the rest of the time. You got to admit, I'm right there. Am I right? Just because it's Christmas, it's like they got to like stick their heads in the ovens. You know, it's just, no, it's true. I mean, I don't know.
There's something about the holidays.
Yeah.
There's something about this time of year.
It's like. Like many parents have told me, you know, it's a thankless job. So, you know, no matter what he's done all year, if he can't make it there on Christmas, so help him, you know.
If I was that father, I'd come home and I'd start smashing all their toys under the tree. This little bastard's making me feel guilty about being away, saving the world. Maybe not saving the world, maybe saving New York. But you know what? Leave me alone, kid. Oh. Well, I don't have any kids.
Poor Mrs. Hogarty, whatever she did to have her son have such a family.
Let's not even get into that, pal. But, yeah, so, I mean, I do like the series. I wish it was shorter. I feel like it should have wrapped up by now. And I don't know. I just don't like the series. I'd rather Disney Plus give us movies, like maybe a 2-hour Hawkeye movie. Instead of giving us all these episodes, like all that WandaVision crap and Loki crap, just give us a 2-hour movie, make it short. Don't let us suffer for 6 to 8 episodes.
Nice. See, I'm enjoying the ride.
Wait a minute. You said you didn't want a film about Hawkeye. You preferred a series.
I would rather it just be a film on Disney Plus. You know, not like a major production. I mean, if you're going to do something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like not a theatrical one. But, you know, like, no, it would be the Hawkeye story. If it was a movie, would be 2 hours, not 8 hours. If they're doing 8 episodes. That's just a little too much for me. And that was my problem with Daredevil, is that every season it was at least 13 episodes. That's crazy. You know,
oh my God, Daredevil was awesome.
Well,
say what you will about the other Netflix shows. Daredevil was awesome, all three seasons.
And I liked Superman and Lois, but finally I said, you know what, I've had enough. You know, they could have just, I guess I just don't like series TV.
Changed his costume, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'd seen that. Yeah.
I'm glad that they're bringing getting the colors a little brighter. Enough of this muted. Yeah, dark red.
I can barely tell the difference. He still doesn't have his underwear on, so
I'm yeah, not there's happy no trunks.
Anyway, so yeah, no, I mean, I like it. I hope it gets better. I hope they calm things down a little bit. I don't know, but oh no, all right. I wanted to ask you. So a lot of people have emailed me and said that they think that Hawkeye's going to die at the end. Do you guys think Hawkeye's going to die? When I say Hawkeye, I mean Clint Barton.
I honestly think Hawkeye is going to retire with a happy ending and the torch is going to be passed. That's right. What I think.
Fedra?
With all the talk about Christmas, it would be very heartless for Disney to, like, he gets off the plane, his kids are waiting for him at the airport, and then all of a sudden, what up, bro? If somebody takes him out, you know? No, I can't see it. I can't see it.
Well, those kids deserve it.
Oh, jeez. Andrew, you talk some sense into him.
You know, I don't know. I don't see him dying. Maybe passing the torch, or maybe moving on to, like, her joining him on different projects, or maybe they even go their separate ways, but I don't see him dying. But I know that we saw, you know, the list of names of his family at the end of the episode, so I kind of want to hope for some tough love to the family, so the kids are like, oh, we're grateful for the dad, he protects us from New York. Oh, you know, like, that'd be kind of cool at the end, and then a Merry Christmas, you know. Blow some stuff up, kind of like Die Hard, and then, you know, Merry Christmas.
Well, I do think it's going to be like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, like where she finally gets him home and then she's about to leave and they're like, oh, why didn't you stay? You know, it's like, and they have like a nice little Christmas dinner, or they watch the kids open the presents. But yeah, I don't see him dying. Disney would never do that, where like they're building up this whole thing. It's like, are you coming home tonight, Dad? It's like, no, I can't make it. How about tonight? No, I can't make tonight either. How about tonight? I promise tomorrow night. And they're never going to say, have Kate Bishop show up and knock on the door. It's like, I'm sorry, your dad's dead. You know, a part of me would love that, but I don't think that's going to happen.
You would.
Well, I like surprises. And I like Kate Bishop. I'd be totally fine with her taking over, because I think the actress is very good. I think she's an interesting character. She's not perfect, where Hawkeye is definitely better than her. And she's learning from him. And I love that aspect of the character. I just like her. And I wouldn't mind if she took over, especially if she comes up with a good costume and a mask. I'd be totally on board. And I think we're going to see a mask with her. I hope so. Give me a mask. That's all I want. All right. So look at that. Not bad, folks. All right. So let's get into it. And we're going to do, since Spider-Man No Way Home is coming
out. Oh, before we go, I'm going to blow Joe Hogarty's timing table off. Did I miss something? What is the significance of the Rolex? Is that something new that we're introduced to, or did somebody have a Rolex that I missed?
I'm just assuming it's Tony Stark's, because out of everybody in the Avengers, I can only imagine Tony Stark wearing a Rolex.
Yeah, but like I said, I don't remember him having a Rolex that it was any sort of significance. And even as like a personal memento, like I never got the feeling that like Hawkeye and Tony Stark were that close, that Clint would be like, oh, I got to get Tony's watch. You know, I'm concerned about the watch. Now, Bruce Banner, maybe because they worked together so much and Bruce Banner might know like, oh yeah, he's got all this stuff packed into the watch. But I don't think Clint would know that. I just feel like I missed something, that watch has some significance.
Well, I guess we'll find out for sure. But I still think it's Tony Stark's. You know, it's got a tracer on there. That's another weird thing. It's now all of a sudden they notice that the tracer is active and that people have been taking stuff out of the Avengers compound. It's like once it was destroyed, they're like, all right, we're out of here. Let's just leave it as a garbage dump.
Well, they know people from the first episode that people were picking through it and taking souvenirs. So
I know, but it should have never been the case.
Oh, heck. I mean,
it's like they had to put
a fence around Stonehenge because people were bringing chisels and bringing pieces home. Can you imagine what they get out of Avengers Tower?
But you come back from the dead for 5 years and you run to the Avengers compound, you start looting the place.
No, but there's still people who weren't dead for 5 years.
Well, then they should be welcoming back their family. You know, it's not like, you know, look at Hawkeye's family.
Maybe they have a spoiled kid at home who wanted something from the Avengers compound, Joe.
Yeah, it's like, daddy, I want the sword of Ronan.
Yeah, exactly. Sure, son, let me get you this razor sharp blade.
All right.
Oh, heck, even when Luke Skywalker got the lightsaber, the first thing he did was look down the barrel of it.
That's such crap. That everybody says that, but I have yet to see that in any of the versions of A New Hope. I think it just might have been a photo that was taken.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bah. All right. So before I was rudely interrupted, I was saying that we're going to rank the Spider-Man movies. And we've done this before, but now we got Fedra here and we got other people that have contributed to our database to create a more accurate average. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through, starting from the bottom. We're looking at 7 movies. We're not including Into the Spider-Verse, although I like that, but I feel like that's more of a Miles Morales movie than it is a Peter Parker movie.
But Peter Parker played a big part in it.
He did, but I still think that that was more of a Miles movie. But we're going to go from the bottom until the top. These guys don't know what it is. I do, but I'm going to let them slowly know what their scores, well, not individual scores, but where it ranks, and we'll see if they were close or not. All right, so coming in at number 7, at the bottom of the list is Amazing Spider-Man 2. So,
yep, I think that fits.
Jack, you think that fits?
I think that fits absolutely. Aside from the fact that that had the most comic accurate Spider-Man suit we've seen on screen yet, there was just so much wrong with that film that it was just terrible. It's unwatchable. I can't even put that on in the background when I'm doing something. I dislike that movie so much.
How about you, Fedra?
Agreed. I rated that as the worst one.
I did too. I'm trying to think. Jack did too. No, actually, I'm sorry. I didn't rate it as the worst one, which we'll see. This was my 6th one. I barely remember that movie, other than the fact that costume was kick-ass, like Jack said. Love that costume. I like Gwen Stacy, Emma Stone. I think she's really good. But I think it was everybody else that was bad. I think it starts off, doesn't it start off with his parents and that stupid airplane thing, you know, like where they're spies and they're killing someone that's definitely superior to them. I hate the whole parent crap thing that they throw in there. And I know Jack had said that they had that in the comics, but that's a bunch of bull.
But even though they had it in the comics, it was a story over the character's history of 30 years. Here it is. If you're making a movie, that's just not one of the Peter Parker plots you grab onto. There's so much other good stuff they could have gone with. You know, also my problem is, and I've said it before, Gwen Stacy doesn't have to die. You know, we could have had Emma Stone for another movie. You know, that's not a set point that, okay, well, you know what? She's got to die, just like Uncle Ben has to die. We don't have to see that yet. That could always happen at a later date. You know, because Emma Stone, you're right, was terrific as Gwen. You know, she made a much better match for Peter Parker than Kirsten Dunst's Mary Jane.
What are you saying, Fedra?
I agree with that statement also, Jack, but I was just going to chime in and be like, well, it's again that traumatic trauma, you know, of losing your parents, and then you also have to lose your girlfriend in order to be the hero.
Well, I think that the reason why she had to die was because I think Emma Stone's star was rising in Hollywood. She just didn't want to come back. So the best way to end her is to end Gwen Stacy, you know?
Yeah, but to be the main female lead in a superhero movie, the way things are now, I don't think any woman is looking to give that up. I don't think anybody is giving that up. People, look at everybody in the world wanted to be in the Eternals movie just to get into a superhero movie.
Yeah, but that's now, not then. It was a little different.
But you were still in the hype. It was after Amazing Spider-Man and the second one came out well after the first Avengers, maybe around the time of the second Avengers. So the superhero genre in the theaters was already well established, you know. And like I said, Gwen Stacy wasn't just a girlfriend, you know, she was smart, she had her own career going. She had her own life that, yes, she was the girlfriend, but she had her own life in her own right versus, gosh, Peter, you're swell. You know, she had her own thing going. And like I said, they just have it in their head that Gwen Stacy has to die. And
well, she does. She does have to die.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen. It can always be happen at a future date. If we had seen Emma Stone be Gwen Stacy for like a third movie and then in the fourth movie she was killed, I think we would have had a much stronger attachment to her where, you know, we would have felt like, oh my God, versus it's the second outing and it's like, okay, you know, let's do her in just because we feel we have to.
I don't know. I get what you're saying, but I'm just saying, well, she could have, what they could have done, because I think she did win an Oscar. She might have won for La La Land. Again, she was looking for that. She was looking more for the critical praise of her acting than she was for money or to be part of a franchise, which I have respect for her for doing something like that. But yeah, they could have done it where she goes off to Europe or something instead of killing her.
She did that in the comics.
I know, but they decided to kill her off.
Yeah, which is too bad.
But
just
one
more thing I didn't like about that movie.
What's that? Oh, just one more thing. Okay.
No, I said that's just one more thing. Let's face it, the terrible stuff they gave Jamie Foxx, an incredible actor, and they turned him into the goofus. I don't even think he was a professor, a goofus lab worker.
Yeah, he was kind of like the nutty professor.
And then, you know, their version of the Green Goblin was just ridiculous, that even before Harry became the Green Goblin, he was kind of a creepy sort of guy. Why would Peter Parker like want to be friends with this guy? There was no reason for it, you know, but there was just so many problems with that movie. It was just horrible.
Yeah, no, it was bad. And again, it's the bottom of our list for a reason. Although I have a worse one. All right, so coming in at number six, Spider-Man 3. Fedra, what are your thoughts on Spider-Man 3?
I think it's not as great, but I kind of ranked the Amazing Spider-Man 2 and 1 as the worst, and then Part 3, because there were aspects of Part 3 that I did like. Like I've mentioned before, seeing emo Tobey Maguire was pretty damn awesome, and I really liked that scene. It was just wonderful to see a different perspective of Spider-Man through this act, so I actually liked it. I mean, overall, it was very cheesy, and I really felt the whole relationship with Mary Jane could have been completely non-existent, but at least that segment of that part, I truly enjoyed.
Yeah, Fedra and I ranked at the same position, like 5. I felt that there were more offensive Spider-Man movies than Spider-Man 3. I actually watched it recently, and I didn't think it was bad. I think the biggest problem was Topher Grace. I thought he was miscast as Eddie Brock, and they rushed Venom into it. They should have taken their time. But other than that, I mean, I thought Sandman was good. I thought that I still like Tobey Maguire, and I like Kirsten Dunst, and James Franco is always good as Harry. And I like the way how they handle the whole symbiote, because it's tough to tell a real true origin story of the symbiote because it would take forever. I think they did a good job with the costume. I know it wasn't comic book accurate, but it was based on the suit that he was wearing. I like the costume. I like the music. I like emo Peter Parker. I thought he was kind of funny. I know a lot of people don't. I don't get it. It's just kind of showing that he turned into a jerk, and that was Tobey Maguire's version of a jerk. I don't like Bryce Dallas Howard in anything. Oh, no, she was good in The Village. But yeah, she's not Gwen Stacy for me, and she's horrible. She's only has a career because her father was Opie Cunningham.
Yes,
she sucks.
She has her own talents.
She's horrible. She is horrible.
I don't know. Have you seen her in Black Mirror? She was incredible.
I refuse to even watch that now that I know that she's in it. No, she did 2 episodes for The Mandalorian. Worst episodes. Each one that she did. She's horrible. Again, she has a career because her father is a stupid director. And they're like,
Hold on. Yo, come on. Have you seen The Help? She was great in that.
No, I didn't see The Help.
Oh, you need to see on that one's a good one, man. That's a good movie.
But once again, Joe Hogarty is talking from an uninformed opinion.
No, what do you mean it's uninformed? No, I've seen her in a lot of crap.
From his narrow scope of view.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, like if you try food, like say like you go to this place that serves hamburgers and you have a hamburger like 3 times and it sucks each time, you're not going to go back. And that's how I feel about Bryce Dallas Howard. She's a crappy hamburger. Anyway, Jack, what's your thoughts on Spider-Man 3?
This was my number. This was the second from the bottom in my view, only because my problem wasn't with Topher Grace. My problem was that an overly sympathetic Sandman. I had a problem with that. I had the problem with James Franco, you know, becoming the Goblin Jr. Because he wasn't the Hobgoblin. Hobgoblin's a great villain.
Yeah, that would have been cool if he was Hobgoblin.
He just, I don't know.
Yeah, skateboard.
I enjoy James Franco, you know, but like I said, the Harry Osborn thing, I liked him hating Spider-Man, but going the whole Green Goblin route. I didn't like the big battle at the end. I thought, if anything, I thought they underused Topher Grace's Eddie Brock versus as Venom. Because, I mean, part of fun in the comic was that Peter Parker could never sense the symbiote because he'd been attached to it. So, like, he'd be at home visiting Aunt May and Eddie Brock would ring the doorbell, you know, hey, can Peter come out and play? And just screw with him that way. We didn't see any of that meanness out of Eddie Brock. It was just, you know, I hate him, want to kill him. You know, it was like, we didn't see a lot of the fun part of Venom toying with Spider-Man / Peter Parker. Kirsten Dunst, I thought, was just terrible. The singing numbers, I thought, were terrible.
They were bad.
Huh?
They were bad.
No, they were bad. They were bad.
But they're so bad, they're good, though.
No, they're just painful to sit through. If they had her doing a big show-stopping number and being a terrible singer, that would be something. But singing like ballads and stuff, no. There was a lot not to like about the movie. I myself enjoyed emo Peter Parker because he was a bad Peter Parker. As you turned a nerdy guy like Peter Parker into like just a terrible, outright horrible nerd, you know? So we got to see the emo dance going, you know, I thought that was funny. I did like how when he got the suit, he started getting more aggressive, and the Sandman was the perfect villain for that because he could be as aggressive as he wants, and he's just smashing sand all over the place. It's not like he's beating a human to a pulp. So the Sandman works in that regard, but the Sandman redemption, sympathetic thing with this kid and stuff. No, the Sandman should have been just like this brutish guy who was, you know, a jerk. You know, and we didn't see that. We got a Sandman we should be sympathetic to. I hope they turn him into, you know, more of the comic book Sandman in the new movie, but we'll see how that works out. But yeah, no, this was definitely towards the bottom for me.
I didn't like that they made him the killer of Ben Parker. You know, it's like, please.
And once again, we had to watch Uncle Ben die again.
Yep.
No, that's okay.
He's been killed on screen more times than most characters.
But he's the OG Ben Parker. So I'm okay with that.
Still.
But I like that he... He was being nice to him. It's like, do you really want to shoot me? Do you really want to rob this bank?
No, but you see, that I believe that would be, from what we've seen of Uncle Ben, that would have been his thing. Like, he would have tried to talk somebody down rather than, you know, fight him. He would be like, son, you know, this could ruin your life. You know, think of what you're doing. You can do other things. I could see that completely, but you don't need to tie everybody individually to the hero. Sometimes a villain is just some guy you don't know who's doing something evil. And we couldn't have that. We had to have the guy who was trying to take Peter Parker's job. We had to have the guy who killed Peter Parker's uncle. No, just let Spider-Man fight a villain who's up to no good sometimes. Not everybody is connected, especially in New York City. If Spider-Man happened in a small little town with a population of 100 people, you could see it, but not in New York City. Yeah. Sorry. I don't know many people in New York.
Yeah, no, I still think there's good parts to it. But yeah, I mean, overall, it's not the best of... that Spider-Man trilogy. It's definitely the worst. Did you want to say something, Fedra? Sorry.
No, I agree with Jack.
All right. Okay. So the next one, this is my least favorite movie, coming in number 5, Far From Home.
What? Yeah. That low on the list?
Yeah, you ranked it way too high. And I got to say, Fedra, so did you. But all right, let's go with Fedra first.
We disagree. That's all. I mean,
well, you're not the only one, but, you know, some people did rank it pretty high.
I want a list of people on this. There's probably Giuseppe Hogarty, Jose Hogarty, Joe Hogarty, Joseph Hogarty, JJ Hogarty, and then like Fedra and Jack.
Trust me, that's not the case, because you'll see the end results. Plus, if it was me, that would have been at the bottom. If I had those people on the list, it would have been at the bottom.
Nah, you're smarter than that, Hogarty. You'd pad your numbers a little bit.
Anyway, so Fedra,
why'd
you rank it so high?
Why did I rank it so high? Because in this one, it had a little bit of everything. I liked Tom Holland conveying the younger Spider-Man. I loved his friend. I keep forgetting his name, but they have such great chemistry together in Far From Home. Ned, thank you, and Homecoming. I liked the action in the film. I love the way that it was done, really. I love all the action scenes. So, I mean, as far as excitement and never missing a beat and not being bored through any of it. And the only thing I was still annoyed with was, again, a relationship and Mary Jane. So it was just like, are we doing this again? That was probably the only bit. But otherwise, I mean, I rank Spider-Man 2 before Far From Home.
Jack?
I ranked Far From Home as my second favorite because I think it just hit a lot of the fun notes. It was an enjoyable movie. I liked the angle that they kind of took with Mysterio, how in the comics he does all this stuff on his own, but the fact that he went and had a team, and they were teams that you saw from bit players in other movies, I thought that was a great throwback, you know? So I liked that whole aspect of how they handled Mysterio, that they turned Mysterio into a big deal menace versus, you know, someone who may be a little bit higher than a street level hero, but, you know, he's not like the Doctor Doom greats in the world. But I enjoyed that movie a lot. I had a good time with it. So I did not have as many problems with No Way Home as I had with a lot of the other Spider-Man movies. And I think Tom Holland is great. Of course, Marissa Tomei makes everything better. So, like I said, I thought it was great. I am surprised it is this far down the list.
Oh, I hated it.
I know you did.
Plain and simple. It's not only my least favorite Spider-Man movie, it's my least favorite MCU movie. I think it's horrible. And the only saving grace in this movie is Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio. They do a great job with the villains in Tom Holland's Spider-Man movie, because Vulture was a crappy villain in the comics. They made him a lot cooler in this one. Same thing with Mysterio. For me, I was never a fan of Mysterio. Fishbowl head, never liked him. But he was good in this one, and he was very comic book accurate, which I thought was kind of cool. His costume looked pretty cool.
His costume did look cool.
It did. So it starts off basically right after Endgame. You know, people came back from the blip. So what do they do? Let's go to Europe. Is that what you're going to do? Are you really going to go to Europe like right after you come back? Why not? That's insane.
Why?
Because it is. It's just stupid to plan like a trip to Europe, going to different countries just after you came back from the dead after 5 years. That makes no sense.
It's not right away. It's not like they came back and they went the next week.
Yes, it was. It was like maybe a week, maybe it's 2 weeks.
2 weeks. I don't think.
Regardless, it's, you know, it should be more like Hawkeye's family. They want to stay home, hang out with their parents. You know, because they hadn't seen.
Wait a second! You're just saying that was all wrong. That Hawkeye's kids were spoiled. Now you're accusing Peter Parker of because he didn't want to stay home with Aunt May. Now
kids are spoiled. Doesn't matter what they do in my book. but that's not my the worst offensive thing. It just was like so cringy. It has to be like. Maybe Captain Marvel's a little more woke, but this is for me like the wokest MCU movie. Oh, the second wokest, sorry. Tom Holland, you know, he's decent as Peter Parker, Spider-Man. I hate the fact that he's always got his mask off, like most of the time. I think we saw the blue and red suit maybe once, but I think he was with Nick Fury and they were on a boat. I'm not crazy about the black and the red suit. I'm not crazy about the night monkey. And then when he was dressed as the Harlequin guy, when he first meets Mysterio in Venice, it was just all missed opportunities where you could have seen like a cool looking Spider-Man battling against like a really cool enemy. And they just blew it because they're like, oh, we have to remind people that it's Tom Holland under that costume, the Tom Holland. No, I want to see the Spider-Man. The movie's called Spider-Man. It's not called Tom Holland's Spider-Man. And let's talk about Michelle. I can't stand her. You know, why would he be attracted to her? She's like a goth. I mean, I guess like if he was a goth, I can understand, but she basically, I just don't like her.
She looked a lot better in this one.
She did look better, but her personality was horrible. Her personality was horrible in the first one. It's a bit funny in the first one, but in this one, I just don't like her. You know, it's like, and again, it's the whole thing with all these movies that we're going to see in the third one where Peter puts himself before his responsibilities. He never learns. With great power comes great responsibility, even though we hear it every now and then in these damn movies. He's an idiot in the beginning. He's an idiot in the middle, and then he makes up for it. But then by the start of the next movie, he becomes an idiot all over again. That's not Spider-Man. If you go through all of the, you know, Andrew Garfields, the Tobey Maguires, that was not Spider-Man. It's things happened to him. He didn't create those things happening. And that's what Tom Holland does. And what bothers me too about this franchise that they're doing is they kind of crapped on the Andrew Garfield movies. And the director said specifically that we're going to stay clear of romance because we feel that that ruined the Andrew Garfield movies. So we want to make it more like a John Hughes type of movie, like Ferris Bueller or, you know, the fun type of movies like that. And I was like, oh, great. That's great. So he's going to be a kid in high school and everything. No romance. Awesome. So what do? They instantly infuse romance. The first one, he's got Liz. This one, he's got Michelle. I thought they were going to take a break with all of his romance. Let him be a kid for a while.
It's a much simpler story romance-wise. A lot less serious. It's played more like a rom-com than romance. Because honestly, part of what I hated about Amazing Spider-Man 2 was the Andrew Garfield, oh, Gwen, I need to tell you something. Oh, no, I can't. Yeah, I don't want to say it. But it's really important so I can tell you how I feel about you. But no, I just can't. I'm bashful all of a sudden. Like, after the third or fourth time that happened on screen, I'm like, oh, my God, you know, shut up. You know, a girl like Gwen should just dump your ass and get somebody normal with a little backbone. You know, just at least Tom Holland's it's a playful sort of romantic storyline that you get why they might like each other. You know,
I guess so. Yeah, they could be opposite of track, but I'm just saying I don't like Zendaya. I think she's got no acting talent whatsoever. I think she sucks. I just can't stop. I just don't like her. And I think she was miscast. All right, enough with her. I know I'm going to mention her again as we get closer to another movie that she's in the Spider-Man series. But I just don't like, and Ned, they kind of like, you know, they castrated him in this one. He wasn't the fun Ned that they had in the previous one.
I thought him and Betty Brant were hysterical together.
No, they were boring, and it separated Peter from Ned. And that
they were funny.
That was great chemistry. And this is all crap, too. I don't believe a character like Ned would hook up with a girl like Betty. I don't believe a character like Cappy would hook up with a girl like Aunt May. You know, it's the whole thing, King of Queens crap, where they're like, oh, yeah, you know, a fat, unattractive guy hooks up with a hot girl. You know, it's every man's fantasy and everything. It's like, enough of that crap. We don't need to see that, especially if it doesn't exist. And yeah, let's talk about the relationship with Happy and Aunt May. She's a hustler. That's all I can say, because there's no way she's attracted to the guy. He's got zero personality. She just wants his money. That's all she wants. You got to admit that. Please admit that for me. Oh, am I not God. Right, Fedra? Am I not right, Fedra?
No, I don't think you're right. No.
Thank you, Fedra.
I think you're coming from your perspective of what you define in relationships, which you are totally entitled to. But I don't believe that. I think, yes, there is some vanity when you are attracted to people. But I also think that you can be attracted more than just their body or their age or their wealth. And if that is the message that they're conveying in these Marvel films, then yeah, I'd be pretty pissed myself. But the whole idea of Happy and Aunt May, I just think that's a little too close, you know, especially when, you know, they convey that Tom Holland really, Spider-Man or Peter Parker identifies with Iron Man and almost like this father figure he never had. So I would say that those character placements, it's a little too close for comfort. That's what I would say.
No, I personally think that she wants him just for the money.
I'm sorry. I don't buy her as a gold digger.
She is.
No.
Yeah, she couldn't get Tony Stark, so she went after Happy, who she figured maybe Tony's going to leave him some money in his will when he dies at the end of Endgame. Spoilers. What?
Where do you get that? Like, seriously.
She's a gold digger. She's
just
a gold digger.
Just let me run the MCU. Leave Joe Hogarty at home.
But I'm saying, does he have a personality? Does Happy have a personality?
Yeah, he's goofy. Yeah, he's goofy and he's kind of clumsy. You know, he's antisocial.
He's antisocial. Yes, is that an attractive feature? He's grumpy. He treated Peter like crap. I just don't get it.
Well, I mean, every time we see Aunt May, she's pretty much either working or she's cooped up in her apartment. So maybe that side of the introvert of Happy would make her happy, you know?
Then all of a sudden this guy comes with this limousine and big bucks. And it's like, oh, that's my ticket to getting out of Queens.
But wait a second. He's driving the limousine. He's not hanging out in the back.
Oh, please.
Somebody else drives.
Well, how much do you think he's making per year? He's not making like $20,000 a year. I mean, he's making seven figures a year at least. He probably told her. Only way he could have got with her. I just don't like that relationship. Because again, first, you know, he treated Peter like crap in the first movie. And then all of a sudden he's like, well, I'm attracted to his aunt. You know, I'll hook up with her. It's just disrespectful.
Because she's so hard looking on the eyes. Yeah.
She's not that great. She isn't. Anyway.
Okay, what's our next movie? What's our next movie? Let's move
on. What's our next movie? Okay.
Move it along.
So that was number five, Far From Home, which for me, that would have been number seven. So number four is Amazing Spider-Man. Fedra. Let's see. What did you rank that? You ranked that, Fedra ranked it as number six. Yeah, you said like those were your bottom two, one and two, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised that it's at that ranking.
Somebody actually has it as number one. I'm not going to reveal who did that, but there is a person on our list that ranked it as number one.
Giuseppe Hogatia?
No. Anything else, Fedra?
No, I really got nothing. I ranked... well, I won't say the top one yet because we're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there. What were your thoughts on the movie, Jack? It's right in the middle.
Well, I had it towards the third from the bottom, which is almost getting to the middle. My thing was I like Andrew Garfield. I think he's good, but it's what he had to work with. I thought Spider-Man himself was a little mean. Where Peter Parker is Spider-Man, you know, he always tells terrible jokes, but these were kind of mean, sarcastic jokes, kind of. And I kind of didn't like that. The Lizard was an interesting choice. I like how they worked the Lizard in to the storyline. I would have preferred more of a comic accurate look of the Lizard. The Lizard's a little guy, about the same size as Spider-Man, but you know, he's all scaly and everything. He's not this big giant monster dinosaur sort of guy. So it was a little different take on it. It had some good things in it, but like I said, I just found Spider-Man as kind of mean, a little bit of a punk. What it had going for it was, I thought, once again, said it earlier, Emma Stone is great as Gwen. Captain Stacy was terrific. But once again, Captain Stacy didn't have to die. You know, they're always killing these characters that
he had to die.
He did not have to die.
You guys in the comics.
Like 90 issues in.
Yeah, but did you seriously think this was movie? Did you think this was going to last five movies?
Honestly, I could have seen it as Gwen, as Captain Stacy dies in the sequel, and in the third one would be when Gwen would die. That's what I kind of had thought, but it didn't happen that way. But there were more good things in the first one than there was in the second Amazing Spider-Man. So, not the best one, towards the bottom in my regards, but so be it.
No, I liked it. I liked Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. I kind of disagree with you with him being mean. I thought he was okay. I'll make this short and sweet, which is rare. My biggest problems with these were the costume. I just didn't like it. I know they were trying to push the fact that he's a high school student and he's got to make his own costume, and it's not going to look as good as the costume in the comics, but this is fantasy and we need to suspend disbelief. Just give us a comic book accurate costume, and which we got in the second one. Give us that one in this one, because that one was too dark. His head looked like kind of like a broken basketball. I didn't like that he used the yellow, you know, goggles, or, you know, like
they were tinted.
Yeah, they were tinted yellow. I just didn't like the costume, and it was too dark. And when I say it was dark, the setting was dark. There just was really no light. There was it took place, I think, a lot during the night. I think there was a couple of scenes in school and everything, but it just seemed like it was just too dark. And I think that they were following the whole Dark Knight sort of thing. It's like everybody loves Batman. We got to kind of give this Spider-Man a darker origin. And you don't need to do that with Superman. You don't need to do that with Spider-Man. True. So that's my feeling with it. But I think it's a decent movie. All right. So coming in number three is Spider-Man, the original one with Tobey Maguire. Jack, what were your thoughts on that one?
I could go with that. When it first came out, there were a lot of things that was like, wow, you know, because let's face it, that was still very early on in the superhero launch that we've seen through the years. My biggest problem with it was the costume designs.
You're insane.
The Green Goblin. You think that was a good costume?
No, you have a problem with Spider-Man's costume.
I have a problem with Spider-Man's costume as well. The webs are just wrong. I don't have a problem with the organic web shooters. Don't have a problem with that. It has Macho Man Randy Savage in it as Bone Crusher.
Yeah.
Which was great. I mean, there was a lot of good stuff in it. It's just, I didn't like the costume design. However, William Dafoe was awesome as Norman Osborn. He was great. There was a lot of good things in it. But now it's very dated now. I don't think it's held up well. Like some movies still look terrific. I still think the original Superman movie looks pretty darn good.
Yeah, I watched that the other night.
The first Spider-Man movie, it just doesn't look as good as it should. It hasn't held up, let's just say. But there's a lot of good stuff in it, but it was the costume designs that I just didn't like.
Fedra?
I ranked it in the same place as third, so I agree. Definitely agree with what Jack said about it being dated. Again, I love the storytelling of it. I actually preferred this movie with Kristen Dunst than part two or part three. I think this was the only time that she really shined in the films, just, you know, conveying the character.
It's got that iconic image of him kissing her upside down.
You know? Yeah. So, I mean, those parts are great. William Dafoe, I mean, it's William Dafoe. So that's all I got to say. I think it was definitely, for me, the third ranking, for sure.
Yeah, I have it ranked the same as you, Fedra, you know, number three. It was a decent cast. I like Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker in Spider-Man. I like Kirsten Dunst as Mary Jane. William Dafoe is very good. James Franco is Harry. Although I always pictured Harry to be nerdier than James Franco. I still like James Franco in the role. J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson.
It's so great amazing. That he's come back.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I like that because he looks different and he shouldn't be in this universe. It doesn't make sense. The people I had problems with was Rosemary Harris, although she's my favorite Aunt May. She's not a very good actress, but she's got the look right. You know, I like my Aunt May's really old and rotty and, you know, with the teeth next to the dresser and everything. That's my Aunt May.
Okay. You like nice and ancient.
Yeah, they got to be old. Aunt May's got to be old. I'm sorry.
Fossil.
I don't care about this logic crap. It's like, oh, well, Peter wouldn't have had such an old Aunt May. Baloney. There's got to be some old ladies that have much younger sisters out there or brothers. I guess it was his brother, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're Parker.
I will say, Joe, just to show that also in being inclusive, I think there's definitely an age shaming when it comes to film. So the fact that they are showing an older, you know, woman and having at least, you know, characters to showcase that more and more, I'm really happy with, and should continue. It shouldn't just be young, youthful, beautiful yoga bodies. You know, we really need to, just the same way as we honor, you know, John Wayne, Clint Eastwood and all those guys, you know, the same way that we should do that with women.
Oh, that's very nice. But my problem with her, she's not a very good actress. Just wasn't very believable with her lines. And neither was Cliff Robertson as Ben Parker. I actually thought Martin Sheen was a little better as Ben Parker in it. Andrew Garfield's.
I don't know about that because.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that either. Martin Sheen was a younger Ben. And Sally Field was a younger Aunt May. So I can see why there's a difference to it. Rosemary Harris, I didn't think she did a bad job as Aunt May. It's just, I think that age gap, I think Aunt May would work better in her 60s than like in her 90s, 80s or 90s. I just think the age gap there is too wide. But that's just me.
Well, that's why Peter's life is so crappy. You know, he's basically stuck with his aunt that's got one foot in the grave and the other in the banana peel, you know?
And yeah, but they've changed that over the years. That was... She was like that until like the mid-70s. And then she got to be much feistier than she used to be.
I get that, but I'm just saying that's what I like. Okay. I like my Aunt May's old. I'm sorry.
I like your Aunt May's old with one foot in the ground.
Yeah, give me that old Aunt May, you know, making the apple pie, no teeth in her mouth.
You know, hot cakes, not apple pies. Aunt May made pancakes.
Clueless that he's Spider-Man. My problem was the Green Goblin costume. It just was such a joke. I think that they could have done such a better job at the Green Goblin costume. And as far as Spider-Man's costume, I loved it because, again, we were coming off of, first of all, we had that drought because of George Clooney being Batman, that they decided to cancel all superhero movies after that. And which you can laugh, Jack, but you know it's true. There's no superhero movies for 10 years because of George Clooney.
George Clooney is the Zendaya of the Batman saga.
He is. He's the Zendaya of every movie he's in. We finally got X-Men, and their costumes were all leather. It's like they were in some sort of kinky sort of group for some reason. What's his name? I can't think of his name right now. Brian Singer, who directed it. He's mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, you know, they all have to be in black leather, all black leather. Never seen the X-Men in black leather in the comics because he felt comic book accurate costumes did not look right on the big screen. But he was wrong. And I'm so glad that Spider-Man looked pretty damn close to what we saw him in the comics. I thought they did a great job with him. I will admit that Amazing Spider-Man 2 probably is the best one. And I do like Tom Holland's costume in Homecoming, the blue and the red one. But I think that this one is better than Tom Holland's costume. Because to me, it looks more accurate. Because Tom Holland's costume, for some reason, has got black electrical tape around the shoulders. I don't know why Tony decided to do that. Just gave it a little flair, but it seems off to me. Anyway, I like the movie. I liked how Green Goblin died because, again, it was similar, you know, to the comics.
Oh yeah, no, that was like I said, that's not my problem with it. My thing was the costumes with the webs were wrong, and then the raised webs, how they weren't like they shouldn't be looking like they have spaghetti glued onto his costume.
Well, I was fine with it. And I always, and I liked too when he had his fight with Green Goblin and he kind of lost part of his costume when you could see Peter's eye. Because I remember seeing that a lot in the comics, like whenever he would fight somebody.
Yeah, you had the one lens cracked and the other part of the mask blown off. No, I mean, it. Like I said, I would have liked it if the costume designs were a little bit different, closer to the comics. And I guess that's my biggest hurdle with those movies is it's just the way Spider-Man looks. It's just doesn't hold up for me. Pulls me out of it.
Yeah. But again, overall, I think it's a very good movie. I want to watch it again. I haven't seen it in a while. Really quick too. I love the organic webs. I thought that was a great idea because it always used to bother me when he had web shooters. I know that was part of the story is that he would run out of his web shooters, or maybe Scorpion would break his web shooters in a battle with him. And then he was screwed where now, you know, he can fall off a building and what is he going to do? Like, you know, he can fall to his death, but having the organic web shooters made him more like a spider to me, you know, cause he can crawl and he can make webs. You know, I just liked it anyway. So that was number three. All right. Where are we at now? So we're at number two coming in at number two is Spider-Man 2. So Fedra, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I ranked Spider-Man 2 as 4. So second one I ranked was Far From Home. Like I said, I just think it was just more of a streamlined Spider-Man movie than Spider-Man 2. I felt just a lot more, just more of what I wanted. It was more playful. It was more, you know, more action in it, more of a storyline and more interesting with Far From Home than Spider-Man 2. So that's why I've ranked it number two.
Jack?
Well, I had it as number three. That's how I ranked it. Spider-Man 2 just, it really upped the game of the superhero movies, more so than the first Spider-Man, because you had a fantastic actor as the villain, you know, and he was a little bit more rounded than William Dafoe in the Green Goblin.
When you say rounded, do you mean acting or size wise?
No, story wise.
No, story-wise. I'm kidding, because he's a little chubby in this one.
Yeah, but well, that's Doc Ock. Doc Ock isn't a buff villain. He's a chubby little guy with mechanical arms, with a Beatles haircut. Alfred, I'm glad they didn't give him the Beatles haircut.
No, I'm glad too. But Alfred Molina had the man boobs showing at times.
Yeah, but I really thought he did a fantastic
job. No, I did too.
Doc Ock. And like I said, that movie's definitely held up better than the first Spider-Man. But there's just so much I liked more. This is Peter Parker, you know, he's out of high school. He's starting college now and he's a little bit older. He's learning a bit. He's trying to figure out what he wants and where he wants things to go with this girl he's had a crush on forever. And then you had James Franco, who developed a little bit more because, you know, he turned into the Spider-Man hating guy who is best friends with the guy he hates more than anybody else in the world. So it just had like all the right notes for a comic book movie. And it was very good, really very good. I mean, once again, the costume didn't do it for me, but I thought the design of Doc Ock's arms was very cool because honestly, the way they were drawn for years, they looked sort of like pool noodles with little hooks on the end, you know, but these actually looked dangerous as heck. And you could get it when these things went into a building and grabbed onto the concrete, you know, they had a grip that could pull him up places. And I still love that fight on the clock tower.
Yeah.
You know, that was just great. Amazing Spider-Man 2 was just very good. And I think that's the turning point when I think the superhero movies just started to get better. You left behind that Batman and Robin or Batman Returns. They started to get, they still had fun, but they were a little bit more serious looking in how they dealt with the world around them. So, yeah, I think it's in a good spot where it is.
Yeah, there's a lot of scenes in Superman the movie where it looks like it came right out of the comic book, but this one tops it where they have scenes like that, where you see when he's fighting on the subway and he's inside the subway car and Peter has got like two of his feet like against the railing and he's gripping it with his hands. I'm like, that's Spider-Man. You know, I don't even know how he got in that position, but that's what Spider-Man looks like in the comics. And yeah, that clock tower scene was cool when they were falling and fighting and punching each other. That's right out of a comic book strip. And that put such a smile on my face. I'm like, oh my God, they're finally getting it right. Because I liked X-Men, you know, I was a huge fan of you know, Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, but it still wasn't comic booky. This one was. They got it right. This was a huge improvement over the first one. What helps too is that Peter is a little more seasoned in the beginning of this movie. He's been Spider-Man for a while. You know, we don't have to go through his origin story and him getting the costume and everything. He's got the costume right in the beginning. Those are the movies I like, that we don't have to wait for all of that crap until we don't have to wait an hour until we see Spider-Man in costume. You know, that scene in the beginning was fun where he's delivering the pizza. There's just a lot of fun stuff in this movie. Alfred Molina is really, really good. Probably he's up there with Michael Keaton. Probably I might even say a little better than Michael Keaton as Spider-Man's villain. My only problem that I have with this movie was part of the plot. He basically started having panic attacks and he lost his powers that way. I can't see that happening. Where, you know, he couldn't stick to walls. He lost his strength. That's just a little too convenient. I never liked that whole plot. But it was good. When you think about it, they did add a lot of different comic book storylines in there. Like they had the Spider-Man No More thing where he throws his costume in the garbage. It's just so good. I love it. I mean, I know Taylor, when he was on, he said it didn't age well. And then I watched it after he said that and he couldn't have been more wrong. You know, I still think it's really good.
Well, even that scene though, where you saw in the trailer where you just see Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst, and they're talking in the coffee shop. And all of a sudden you hear that ka-chung, ka-chung. And the next scene, you know, they're like looking shocked. And then you see the tentacle come down. You know, I mean, that had some great moments in it too. Even though you didn't like that storyline, you got to admit that was a good moment when, you know, he realizes that he's got to use his powers to save the girl he loves.
Well, yeah, but it came back to him, you know.
Yeah, but I just thought that was such a great scene. Like all of a sudden he puts the glasses on, everything's blurry.
Yeah.
You know, like his powers are coming back. That was just a great scene.
No, it's definitely, it's right up there. Like when he finally becomes Spider-Man again and you see him swinging through the city, or, and he meets Doc Ock on the clock tower. And that's another thing. You see Spider-Man swinging and it's in Doc Ock's glasses, you know, reflection. It's like, damn, they got that so right. But no, it reminded me of Superman too. Like when, well, that was another thing too. Superman lost his powers in Superman 2 and then he gets them back. It was a little too similar in that way. And you know, and Superman shows up and it's like, General, will you care to step outside? That Spider-Man scene was right up there when he finally gets his powers back. It just was really, really cool. I love it. Love it. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right, so let's get to our number one, which I really disagree with you guys on this one. That is Spider-Man Homecoming. Fedra, this is your number one. I was trying to do Blondie there, but failed miserably.
It is. I mean, it's number one because I love all the emotion that, and yes, I agree with you. I still don't like that, you know, Peter Parker at this point is still trying to come to grips with what responsibility is and wanting to be an Avenger and wanting to be, you know, side by side with Tony Stark. And, you know, I mean, I think throughout that part of him seeing him as a father figure, like, yeah, that kind of disturbed me because I never saw that, in the very few comics that I did read of just Spider-Man, I never saw that. So I didn't really like seeing it on film, but I could see why they did it with, you know, everything else. But I like Homecoming because of, you know, Peter is just trying to figure it out. Like he's trying to balance like a routine as well as being a superhero. And I love that part of the film where you can just dream, you know, you could just put yourself in that situation. Imagine if you're Spider-Man or Spider-Woman with these capabilities and you're trying to have like a regular routine in life, but then you've got this, you know, responsibility and urgency to, you know, prove yourself to be an Avenger and like one of the top notches Avenger, you know, like Iron Man is like choosing you and you're like, having this kind of complex, or am I capable? Am I able to handle it? Yeah, I'm going to be able to handle it. I'm going to, you know, do this whole thing with the Vulture and then finding, you know, out that the Vulture is like, you know, Mary Jane's dad. It's like, oh crap. You know, going through that whole process was, you know, to me the best because it was, again, you know, more of figuring out like what comes next for Peter. Like I'm very interested in the new film on how they're going to portray that because I'm waiting just like you are, Joe, for him to kind of grow up even just a little bit. So I think what I enjoyed about this film and is the leveling up, the complexity and how it's getting more complicated and that we will see it in the near future with Doctor Strange. So that's kind of why I ranked it number one out of the others.
Cool. Jack is right there with you. He ranked it number one too.
Yes, I did. I thought it hit all the right notes and it had a phenomenal villain. I mean, when I first heard the Vulture, like the Vulture was always an old guy who's just looking to steal some money. And they really went with a very cool direction with Michael Keaton being the salvage guy and then being done out of it, but still trying to make a buck. They handled the Vulture in a very different way that was very cool. And Michael Keaton like pulled it off as a great villain where, you know, he went from being, you know, the dad and everything. And then, you know, Liz, can you go inside? I'm going to have a word with Peter. And he does that flip right to the villain. It was good. You know, the bit where Tony Stark kind of became the father figure to him, they had kind of started that in the comics before Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what kind of the Civil War storyline kind of pushed the MCU in that direction a bit. However, when that happened in the comics, Peter was much older, you know, and less impressionable as a teenager would have been. But I thought they handled that pretty well. So, I enjoyed Homecoming a heck of a lot. And I have to say that is my favorite movie so far.
Yeah, I have this at number two. So I ranked it pretty high, although I have much more problems than you guys have. My biggest problem in this movie is Karen. I did not like that he had an AI and that she was so advanced that she was able to talk to him, help him out with his dating problems. She was too human. And I understand he needed someone to talk to because in the comics, you know, you just see his thought bubble with the, is it little circles, you know, when he's talking to himself?
The thought bubbles, the thought balloons.
Yeah. But I just didn't like it. You know, and I like, what's her name? What's the name of that actress? You guys know who she is. Oh man, I hate doing this and I don't have her name written down. She was in Labyrinth. Anyway, let me move on. If you guys figure out what her name is, I have a feeling Fedra's looking it up for me. he was a good Tom Holland as Peter Parker and Spider-Man. I loved his relationship with Ned. The actor that plays him is very good. I really like him. Michael Keaton was really good. Like you said, I always pictured Larry David being Vulture, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's who would fit the comic book version of the Vulture.
But Michael Keaton was really good. And this is the first Spider-Man movie out of all the ones that they've had that had a genuine twist to it that nobody saw coming, you know, that he was the father of the girl that he liked, you know. And that scene when he opens the door, anytime I'd seen it multiple times in theaters, everybody would always go, oh, you know, the audience would just react that way because no one saw it coming. It just was really well written. You know, I rag on Marissa Tomei, and she's fine in this movie. Zendaya, I think, is fine in the movie, although, you know, it's her character. She's annoying. But I just didn't like that they made her MJ. She should have been Michelle, and she should have remained the character that she was, kind of like the goth sort of pessimistic type of character. Like, I liked when she was in detention and she didn't have to be in detention and she just was there because she wanted to witness people's sorrow. And then she was drawing a picture of the guy that was in charge of detention.
That was funny.
That was pretty funny. You know, yeah. She definitely has her moments. I liked it. All right. Another problem I have is the final battle with him and the Vulture. He should have been wearing his Spider-Man costume. I just think that was a missed opportunity. That would have made it look iconic for him to wear that crappy little sweatsuit that he put together. I know, you know, yeah, Tony Stark took away his costume and everything, but it would have looked so much better. I would have been fine with him if he just stole the costume and he fought the Vulture with, on the plane and everything.
Found the costume on the plane when he went.
Yeah, inside. That would have been great. Yeah, that'd been awesome. It's like, holy crap, my costume, put it on. And then it has the training wheels protocol on there still. Or it got put back on there. I would have been so fine with him. It just would have been iconic to see them fighting. And to me, it just looked like a little kid fighting the Vulture. And like I said, it was a missed opportunity. I'm glad that we didn't have to go through the whole origin story of Peter Parker. I thought he was fun. I love the costume. I liked, we saw him in Queens, and we saw him a lot during the daytime, which is pretty cool. You know, he doesn't always have to be at night. Like I said, in Amazing Spider-Man 1, it was almost all night whenever we saw Spider-Man.
He got those funny bits like, hey, you that Spider-Man, do a flip.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. No, it was good. He was a good Spider-Man. I just, like, me personally, he's starting to annoy me because I feel like he's just too overly sensitive when it comes to his being tied to the character. He just needs to grow up because he's almost 30 years old now. He still acts like he's 16 years old. But I should be the last one to talk. But yeah, it's good. I mean, I understand it being number one. I would have rather seen Spider-Man 2 as number one, but you know, I would say it's so high because everybody has it as either their number one or their number two. So they must have done something right.
Agreed.
Yeah, anyway, so we're hoping that Spider-Man No Way Home tops this one. And we'll find out in a couple of weeks.
Yes, we will. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm ready.
And we will have our No Way Home roundtable coming out very shortly after we see that movie. So look for that. It's coming. It's a coming. All right, let's wrap this one up. Jack, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can always send me email at jack@wdwnt.com.
Okay, and Fedra?
You can find me on Facebook and Instagram and add me, or you can email me at fedra@wdwnt.com.
And you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. Also, check out Walt Disney World News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney Universal news. And please visit the Carousel of Products. And finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and would like to become Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 7, Episode 45. So until next time, see ya.
WDWNT, good night all. And be good to each other.
Good night, everyone.